This is not a service for worship. This is not a service for preaching, and I'm not preaching here. Don't intend to preach, but I do want to share the book of Ezra. I wanted to share something that the Lord dealt very profoundly with me about this week. The book of Ezra, just by way of a little bit of instruction here, to give you a background for chapter 9. Ezra, of course, was sent back to rebuild the house of God. The people of God had been in captivity because of their sin, and the Lord had granted reprieve for them, some of them, to come out of their captivity and to go back and build again the walls of Jerusalem and the holy place. What a great and bountiful blessing. I want us to consider this text in the light of recent developments here. We have a newly elected president, and we see our nation plummeting into desperate sin. Long before our nation, as a nation, governmentally speaking, begun to go down that road, the church had abandoned her watch. We can trace the decline of our nation back to its origin in the decline of the people of God and the truth of God and the work of God. It is still true. The scripture says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God. It's still true. And this nation is rapidly approaching, I fear, that threshold. In the midst of such a total devastation and captivity, God granted a reprieve to Israel and allowed a remnant to go back with the intent of rebuilding and reestablishing the worship of God in the place of God's appointment. I'm being very careful how I say these things. I hope you're following. I'm not at all comparing America with Israel in the sense that they were the theocracy. They were truly a people of God, appointed by God as a nation. Not at all comparing America with that. However, we can extract these principles that are applicable for our hearts. These were the people of God. They found themselves in terrible desperation and bondage because of their sin. Now God grants them to come back and reestablish the work. And I think that there is some parallel in the sense that we have seen in the last 20, 30 years, some reviving, as it were, returning to truth in some measure in this country. And then we come to chapter 9, and here's what we read, and this is what I hope will profoundly grip your heart as it did mine. We come to chapter 9. Now, when these things were done, this is right at the conclusion of chapter 8, they have gotten the vessels, the holy vessels, back. They've brought them back. They've begun to set up the things of God aright. And here's what happened. When these things were done, the princes came to me, that's Ezra, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the lands. doing according to their abominations. Even the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. All these people surrounded Israel. And these people were a pagan, godless people. And now we get all the way over to chapter 9 and a message. Here's Ezra trying to build, trying to get the job done, we would say in modern colloquialism, trying to build the work of God. And here comes this message. And it is a devastating message. The people of Israel, even the priests and the Levites, have not separated themselves from these people. For they have taken, verse 2, of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass. The very leaders had been unwilling, right in the face of the mercies of God, to have sent this remnant back at all, to have granted them the favor of a pagan king who offered to finance the work himself, to send them back. Oh, mercy of mercies, wonder of wonders, God did this for Israel. They get back there, and the word comes to Ezra, nonetheless, then the leaders themselves, in the face of all that kindness of God, have been unwilling to separate themselves from the nations around them. I hope that as I'm saying these things, you're making the application for your own heart, as the Holy Spirit did to mine. God has left a remnant to build the work. And even in the face of that great and unfathomable mercy, there were some among them who were unwilling to separate themselves from the people. Verse 3, and when I heard this thing, I rent my garment and my mantle, and plucked off the hair of my head and of my beard, and sat down astonished. I wonder, are we still astonished when we hear of the people who profess the name of Christ that are not separated from the world? Or have we just learned to just take it in stride? It's just old news and really doesn't bother us. Ezra heard this thing, and the Bible said he rent his garment and his mantle. That was the outer garment and the inner garment. He rent both the outer and the inner garment, and being of the priesthood, could not shave his beard by law. And so, not to violate the law, he tore out his beard. Such was the anguish of this man's soul to hear this news. And the Bible said he sat down astonished. What a conviction that verse was to my own heart. How little am I astonished when I hear of sin. How accustomed have I grown to it? And then it tells us, he says that, by the way, twice. In verse 4, so he goes up to the temple, probably. It doesn't tell us that here, but most men think that he goes up to the precincts, at least in the area. And he sits down with his mantle and his garment torn, his beard plucked out, and he sits astonished. Now we'll find out in a little bit, this news probably came to him in the morning, because it's later in the evening that he gets up, does something. So he sits down astonished. As he sat there, there were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel because of the transgression of those that had been carried away, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. What a picture. Do you see the picture? What a picture. Astonished. Ought we not to be astonished when we hear of people who claim to have the truth of God, who claim that they are the new generation, who have risen to herald it forth. They've gone back to build the walls. And they have not separated themselves from the peoples of the world around them. Israel was astonished. He was so astonished. He sat, apparently from the morning until the evening sacrifice. And then in verse 5, at the evening sacrifice, I arose up from my heaviness. And having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and I spread out my hands unto the Lord my God. And I said, Oh my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, my God. For our, you see how he identifies himself with them? Our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespass is grown up to the heavens. Finally, it comes time for the evening sacrifice, and he raises himself up, and he falls on his knees in the presence of all this crowd. And by the way, there's a word of encouragement here. If one man will become astonished, others will see him and join with him. And they did. And so it comes time for the evening sacrifice, and in the presence of them all, he raises, he pulls himself together out of his heaviness enough that he comes before God and he falls on his knees and he spreads his hands out. And he prays, Oh God, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed and I blush even to lift up my face because of our iniquities. Since the days of our fathers, verse 7, have we been in a great trespass unto this day. And how many of us could say that? How many of us could look at our parentage, our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers, and say to the Lord, Oh God, from the days of our fathers, we've been in a great trespass. Unto this day. And for our iniquities, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword and to captivity and to the spoil and the confusion of face as it is this day. And now, verse 8, here's the killer. Verse 8, and now, for a little space. Grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and give us a nail in a holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, and to set up the house of our Lord, and to repair the desolations thereof, to give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. And now, our God, what shall we say after this? We've forsaken thy commandments. My goodness. How could it be any worse? How could it be any worse? God has spared a remnant, raised up a time, a day, an hour, an opportunity for the people of God to get up out of their ashes and go and build the house of God. And Ezra says, and now in the face of all of that, we have refused to separate ourselves and do the work. But here's what I want you to grasp, and we'll be done today. I just wanted really to share this scripture. Verse 8. Now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape. And listen to this. To give us a nail in a holy place. A nail. In the Hebrew, it's the word pen, but it's the same thing. And I meditated on that. Been thinking about it this week. I studied the commentaries, but I've been meditating. Ezra chose this picture. You know what a nail does? It secures something, right? It fastens it down. You could cut every board that's in this house. If you took the nails away, all you'd have is a pile of rubble. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Because it's the nail that fixes it. And Ezra chose this picture. He said, the Lord has allowed us a nail in a holy place. He's allowed us to fix this thing, tack it, put it in place and fix it there. And look what we've done with it. And, he says, our God might lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. Now here's a question I want to put to you, and I want you to keep it all week. I'm going to do something I've never done, just because I'm a bad teacher, not because I'm smart, but I'm a bad teacher. I've never used visual aids, and today I'm going to use a visual aid. I'm going to give you something that I hope will secure this text in your mind. God has spared Israel a place of refreshing. God, I could stand here right here and recite to you, most of you, your own testimonies. I've heard them. God has given us a place, a space of a little reviving, a refreshing, an opportunity to put a nail in a holy place. We dare not sin in the face of such astounding mercy. We dare not fail the Lord in the face of great mercies. It doesn't matter, especially with the generation we're in, the day we're in, the direction this country is going. We need to be a people that are prepared to be separate from the nations, from the world, in our hearts, in our daily devotion, in our hearts, separated from these. How could we take this time of refreshing and sin against our God? And I started praying this week, as I meditated on this verse, I started praying, oh God, make me a nail. Make me a nail. Let me be a nail. Let me be a nail in a holy place. Help me to pin it down. Don't let the building collapse because of me. Let me be a nail. I hope that this week you'll take just this verse or this chapter or whatever, but take this verse and remember our responsibility in our homes, among our children, among our spouses, among one another, in our community, to be a nail in a holy place in this generation, in this day, in this place where God has put us. I said I was going to give you visual aid. Pass those around, buddy. Take one. There's two. I brought a box of nails. There's two different sizes. Big one, a little one. Get up and pass them around. Please, sir. And I want you to take a nail. This is a class. It's not a worship service. And just stick it in your Bible, or you men stick it in your pocket, or you ladies stick it in your purse, put it somewhere, and I just want you to take that nail, and this week, every time you see that nail, or you feel of it, or you remember it, I wish you'd just pray this week. Every time you see that nail, pray, God, let me be a nail. Make me a nail. Let me be a nail in a holy place. There's nothing. These are not holy anointed nails. They are clean. I did wash them for you mothers that are whining about germs. I did wash them. They're clean. But just a reminder to pray. Ezra said, now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant. To give us a nail in a holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. This week, pray that God will make you a nail. Pray that God will make us all a nail so that we may hold together the honor of God and the glory of Christ and be a testimony to the lost world around us to give testimony to Christ. I hope that you'll do that this week. Let's pray together again before we sing. Father.